My name's John O'Bacon, and I've got a G1.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I've got an HTC Hero.
And this is...
Shot of Jack! Smartphones are the new black. And probably the closest thing to the open source community's heart in the smartphone market, beyond the aborted OpenMoko Freerunner project, is Google's Android. From a small start with one phone from T-Mobile, there are now Android phones available from Motorola, HTC, Samsung, and every day brings new reports of new phones to confuse everyone reading Engadget. Now, smartphones have three sets of features. They're a phone, well and good, but phones have always managed to do that. It turns out that non-smartphones are named feature phones, in a shameless example of marketing newspeak. Even these dumb phones, excuse me, feature phones, which are obviously the old black, even these could make calls, maybe even eke out an MP3 or two, if you didn't mind only being able to store three songs on the device. The big differentiators between the new black and the old are applications and the internet. Being able to get at the web from your pocket, and we'll ignore the Opera Mini people crying their eyes out here for a moment, that's liberating, but what we're here to talk about is applications. On the iPhone, there's an app for that, whatever that might happen to be, up to and including pressing a button and getting a fart noise. Truly, this is the connected future. Android is rapidly finding itself in the same position. Although the recent 9-day scandal where Google refused to allow their Google Experience applications, Google Mail, Google Maps and the like, to be redistributed with custom Android homebrew builds like Cyanogen, this clearly demonstrates the uneasy tension between an open source operating system and closed source applications. Android phones are still some distance behind iPhones in the market, and now there's the even newer black in the form of Palm's Pre to bring its milkshake to the schoolyard. So is Android actually a useful choice for people who are already using open source?
The thing about Android is that the open source community want it to become the iPhone, in my mind. They want it to be the operating system of the iPhone.
Yes.
You know, as open source people, we look at iPhone users and we try to find fault in iPhones because we really want it, but it's all closed and proprietary and all that business, right? But what we really want is that experience. And I think Android is the closest right now in the market that gets us there. Like, BlackBerry are never going to have this.
No.
I'd be surprised if some of the work going on at Nokia is gonna get there. But the work going on with Google with Android, I mean, just from my personal experience with the G1, it's pretty compelling. So at that point, I think you have this kind of set of expectations from the open source community, and like you say, there seems to be possibly an uneasy balance between the closed source aspect of this and what we expect in the open source world.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain amount of openness from Android. I mean, obviously, Android itself is largely open source, hand-waving over the elephant in the corner that is device drivers for everything. But ignoring that for the moment, we are in a position where you can usefully use an Android phone from a Linux desktop in ways that you can't with the iPhone. The iPhone manufacturers, Apple, clearly couldn't give two tugs of a dead dog's dick about making it available on a Linux machine, which means that there's a certain amount of reverse engineering going on to make it work properly. But more importantly, you can't develop applications for the iPhone on a Linux desktop, or at least not very easily. Android ship out of the box with the SDK, if you're an application developer, which runs on Linux perfectly well, just as well as it does on Windows or the Mac, which is great.
It strikes me as interesting as well that if you think about the iPhone, you think about this this huge success there, right? And targeting people who like to write silly little applications as well. And people write applications in fucking Objective-C.
I know. Right?
If they can be successful with Objective-C, I mean, it strikes me that there's a huge opportunity for Android here.
There is, if the Android people could get past the fact that it's all in Java, which is even worse. I mean, at least Objective-C is kind of a Mac native language. Java is the language of people who slave away on database applications that talk to Oracle.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Fuck a bunch
Well, I
of
actually
Java.
Asked Chris De Boner as well on Floss whether we were going to get Python support, and he said probably not. So,
I'm told for boring technical reasons, like Python requires you to do dynamic stuff, and the Dalvik VM is set up deliberately to not do dynamic things, that it's going to be really hard. But we're in a position where it's interesting that Google have a certain amount of openness around Android, but then the carriers layer closedness on top of it. There's basically no supported way. If you buy an Android phone actually off a carrier like T-Mobile or whoever, they don't give you a supported way to flash it. Everyone ships with something like HTC Sync, which is a Windows-only application, and you end up having to essentially root your phone just in order to flash a new updated version of the ROM. This was a particular problem for people with HTC Heroes, because the original version of the ROM was hopelessly, hopelessly slow. So that's really annoying.
Yeah, and what's also interesting to me is the fact that I originally thought that Android was just going to be a phone platform, whereas it seems to be spreading further afield. I mean, we've obviously got it running a range of different phones, not just a single kind of Google kind of hardware design or anything like that. It's running on a variety of different phones. But also, for example, it's running on the Barnes & Noble Nook as well, which is not a phone by any stretch. I mean, it talks to a phone network using 3G with AT&T, but it's not a phone. And we've even seen, we've seen Android apps running on Ubuntu.
Absolutely.
On UNR as well with
Android
some builds.
Netbooks. You know, it's not clear to me that was part of the original design for the thing. I don't think the Android team were originally thinking what we're doing is we're building here an operating system which can be used on phones and on netbooks. I think people came along and put it on netbooks anyway, and then the Android people went, oh, I suppose we ought to pay some attention to that then since they're doing it. What I'm interested in is, as you said right at the beginning, people want the experience of the iPhone. Android's not there, but it's the closest there is at the moment, and hopefully it will get better over time. But is it actually aligned with the goals that we've got being open source desktop users?
The thing that excites me about the Android platform is that I think for open source people, we typically want a platform to A, have code that's freely available, B, is licensed appropriately, and C, is a platform in which we can work on, fix bugs, send them back, add features, be involved in the development process. And it strikes me that Android is most of the way there, which is impressive given the fact that Google is a huge corporation. And I think it says a lot about Google, the fact that they've got as far as they have.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, that, I think. Because, when I say you can't flash an app, you can't flash an actual purchased Android phone from Linux, that's not Google deciding that, that's the carriers. The thing which disappointed me is the Google Experience application, things like Google Mail and Google Maps and so on. People have been building custom ROMs saying, you know, Android is open source, we want to build our own version of Android, deploy it to our phones. And then Google sends cease and desist letters saying you can't put Google Mail, Google Maps on it as part of a distributed image. And how useful is an Android phone if it doesn't talk to Google anyway? You know, that seems...
Well, yeah, and...
It seems uncomfortably chilly to me to do that.
It must be weird being Google. It must be difficult being Google as well, because I can imagine that the engineering parts of Google, like, well, you know, we don't want them to do that. But then the legal department might be sending those letters out, you know.
Yeah.
So it's probably the left hand and the right hand not necessarily talking to each other.
Exactly.
To me, the biggest downside with a lot of these development platforms for embedded devices is that I know that they have a small memory footprint and all the rest of it, but I think we could have a way more exciting ecosystem with applications if people can write using different languages.
Right now it has to be Objective-C
for the iPhone, but you know, and it has to be Java for Android, but you know, Python or C Sharp or whatever it might be, people should be able to.
Exactly. I mean, we're in a position now where there are about 100,000 apps for the iPhone. There are about 20,000, I think, for Android. There are 500 for the Pre. The Pre uses web technologies to build even native applications. And there's recently been a resurgence in the idea of building web apps that actually run on a phone. You know, because you can now do offline web apps, and there's a minor, tiny resurgence in this idea as using actual web apps to build phone apps. And I think that's going to be really interesting.
Absolutely. So we have a lot of thoughts on Android, and, you know, we're generally supportive of it. We think it's heading in an interesting direction. But you know what? We've just started the conversation. What do you lovely people think? You need to go to the Shot of Jack website at shotofjack.org and share your thoughts on the shot that we've just released today. Alternatively, you might want to talk to us via Twitter. How do you do that?
You may indeed. If you tag your tweets with #ShotOfJack, they'll appear on the website, or you can send a message directly to us at @ShotOfJack.
And finally, if you want to talk to us directly via email, you can email us on talktous@shotofjack.org.
And we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.